Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith. And every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who unfortunately does not take it real seriously.
Nope. But who is real, real good at two haunts and a flaunt.
We don't have to bring that up again.
I mean,
that's over. That's over until next year.
In case this is the first episode anybody here is listening to, which is entirely possible. I'm sure every week we get thousands of new listeners. But in case thousands, this is the first episode for anybody, mm-hmm. go back. Just stop this one. Just stop it. Just go back to last week. Much better episode.
Yeah, definitely the first episode we want anyone to ever hear is a two haunts and a flaunt. The most confusing episode we do, even for me. And I've been doing this for like 130 now. you got me again. I was just listening to the Jeremy cut today, actually, and I don't know, you know, I was thinking, like, there were some things that you said during the flaunt story that I was like, I flagged them as potential, but you know, overall I think you do a good job of weaving a lot of dumb shit into all these stories that I think, is this too dumb or is it just dumb enough? And I don't know the formula. I don't know. You've outdumbed me.
I think that's my next tattoo. Just fist tattoos. Too dumb, not dumb enough. It's like right.
It's a lot of letters
left on the knuckles.
Every knuckle. It's a lot of letters per knuckle.
It'll be all the letters across the knuckles, and then the last knuckle, I'll run out of room, and that'll be all the rest of the letters on that.
Like it's vertical.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You have to punch real slow so they can read it, and then twist a little bit at the end. Oh, God. Well, this is a new episode, and before we get started, I was on campus today. And I bumped into a colleague of mine. Her name's Janet. And I was like, hey, Janet, how's it going? And we were chatting a little bit.
Sounds nice.
And yeah, and she was with another woman. And after a couple of minutes, Janet said, oh, let me introduce you to, this is a guest speaker for my class today.
Oh.
This is so-and-so. She's going to speak about supply chain because she works at Smithfield. And I said, oh, so great to meet you. I love your bacon.
Seems
and
normal.
She said, thank you.
Well, yeah.
I thought that was a normal thing to say to a person.
I'm sure she gets
worked at a good
every
bacon
day.
Place
all day long. Yeah.
She didn't. I'll tell you what. She did not seem like it.
She isn't like from like Smithfield Defense Contracting or something like that. Where
I think she's from the. I think she's from the Bacon Smithfield, but I think she may be in charge of defense contracting for them.
All hard tech. It's all this is, guys. I'm sorry. Bacon division makes that keeps the lights on, but the money gets made in the defense contract.
We gotta send this to the army every day. It's gotta be because I said I don't know. I got so excited because I do love their bacon. This is not an ad for Smithfield, but this is just free for them. It's great bacon, and it felt to me like a normal thing to say. But the look on her face suggested that perhaps that was not a thing she heard a lot in her day to day.
I bet you are going to be. Probably in her head, she was like, "Well, now I have to rewrite the entire speech I was going to give in class because this is just awkward enough for me to include in the speech."
Yeah, her opening story to her lecture, much like mine is about that interaction. Hers will also be about that interaction, but it'll be a little different. So that was my day today.
Wonderful.
Yeah, she was visibly shaken, and I don't know why. I don't know why. It's good bacon, and it can't possibly be the first time that she's been complimented on her bacon. There was one other thing I was gonna say to you. What was it? I don't know. My brain is. I'm so tired. We had a house guest for the last 5 days. We had our friend Dave was over.
Oh, Bloom came by.
Yeah,
good for you. Good for him.
And he's good. Yeah. It was a wonderful visit. Dave is. He's quite possibly the best possible house guest.
Absolutely.
Because he's like
absolutely.
Quiet. He's like polite. He's super clean.
He is
like
made Mary some meals. Fucking Poppins. That's what he is.
He is Mary Poppins. Yeah. He was good with the kids. There was one day I had to work, and he was like, "I'll help Aaron. I'll take care of the kids." I'm like, "Great, you can be dad today." He did a better job than I do. He's wonderful. But 5 days is a lot to have a guest in the house, even if it's the best guest ever. Because I've done nothing in my normal life,
right?
That I would normally do, including take notes for a story.
That's fine. You can wing it. You pedal one pedal. No, pedal the other pedal.
Okay. So it's going to be like two haunts and a flaunt, except it's going to be one big flaunt, and we're going to build it together. No, I actually don't have to do that because timing is everything. And today I have a story to share with you, a true ghost story as usual. Mm-hmm. But this one, the notes are not taken by me. These notes were taken by Jeremy Montoya.
Really?
Our audio editor.
Oh my God.
Supreme.
Jeremy Renaissance Montoya. Man. Absolute Absolutely. Renaissance man.
He was tired of Jen Swanson getting all that glory mm-hmm. of taking the notes. So... so I do have a story today to share. It's not just that he suggested the topic. He took all these notes and I have not had time to read through more than the first like five bullets.
I love this.
So it's going to be another one of those. So thank you so much, Jeremy. Very excited to dig in. Before we do though, I should say this week we are once again sponsored by our good friends at Smart Label.
Yes.
How's your fall organizational season coming along?
Fall organizational season. It's coming along. It's coming along. I've got everything in piles, right?
Okay.
And I've determined I don't think I should be using the smart labels on piles because the piles they shift. You know,
it's
like
true.
And it's like the sands of Dune. Every time I come down here,
oh no,
they're in a slightly different area. There's a cat burrowing through them, like Shai Halu. So
it's very elongated, strange cat that really is. He's dialed into your footsteps
and
for sure.
God help you if you try and put a smart label on him because he refuses. Shai Halu refuses.
It would be very handy to have a smart label on Shai Halu because that would save you a lot of walking through.
I mean, you'd be walking. You'd be like, do I need to like do the funny steps? Do I not? You look on your app and you're like.
Kind of do pattern.
Yeah. And you're like, no, he's not anywhere close to here. Look,
I'm gonna walk in up cadence.
He's my red label. Just so you know, he's my red label.
Oh, that, absolutely. There's no other choice for that. So, smart labels are maybe not the best for Shai Halud or for piles of stuff that shift like sands because it's best when you put one smart label in like a box of something,
okay,
or a crate of something, or like a cage of Shai Haluds, which would be a very, very big crate.
Very large cage. Probably don't even need the smart label at that point, to be quite honest.
Yeah, you never know, though. You want to be safe. You want to be safe. It's worth it. It's worth it. And today we have a very special offer from our friends at Smart Labels. Oh. They have done something very generous. They have joined us. They've partnered with the biggest podcast on the planet. Is that what this note says? It's weird. I don't know. Their words, not mine. Is this a ghost? And they are offering our listener, one of our lucky listeners, a free pack of Smart Labels.
Ooh.
So here's how this is going to work.
Okay.
If you're listening to this right now.
I am. Oh, am I not?
Sorry. Yeah. Shit. Could you just pretend like you're not here for a second? Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, dear listener, if you're listening to this right now, and if you're listening when it publishes, if you're listening like 3 years from now, this is not going to apply to you, and I'm so sorry, but you've missed the boat.
Also, if you're Jeremy, the audio engineer, you can't do this one either.
No.
Because you hear it like a week for everybody else.
You're jumping the gun. No, that's cheating. But if you're listening right now as this comes out, go and join our mailing list. All right, go to isthisaghost.com. Mm-hmm. You can join our mailing list. You'll see a little pop-up. All right. You can join our mailing list. When you do that, you'll do two things. Number one, you'll get a free episode from our Ghost Plus, the Jeff, the Mongoose episode, which is really great.
Favorite episode of all time.
That is a wild fucking episode. But more importantly, you will also then get access to this giveaway that we're doing with our friends at Smart Labels. So we're going to give it a week. And once 1 week has passed from the drop of this episode, we will email everyone on the list instructions on how to enter the giveaway. And it'll all be very clear at that point what's going to happen. Now, do I not know yet what's going to happen? Did I not prepare as I should have? I will not say yes or no. I will just say I've had a house guest for 5 days and and I'm a little thrown, but it's going to work out really great. So go to isthisaghost.com, join our mailing list. You will then in a week or so be given all the details of how you can enter this giveaway from Smart Labels. And you do want the Smart Labels. They've changed my life. They've changed Patrick's life and they've changed Timothy Chalamet's life. And any final thoughts on that, Patrick?
No, just really, really excited to get more people subscribe to the Church of Smart Labels. So
I think they're agnostic. I don't know.
Oh, maybe it's a tax thing.
Hey, we're supposed to get into the episode now, but actually, now that I say Timothy Chalamet, that reminds me of the other thing I wanted to tell you.
Oh, well, there we go. See, everything comes back around.
Yeah, and I promise this is worth it.
Okay. Just so you know, So we have one Timothy Chalamet episode, one Timothy Chalamet reference in the ad. I don't really know why. Obviously, Dune factors very heavily in the ad. And number three, you mentioned Timothy Chalamet as a possible name of the disgraceful comic at the Conservative.
Yeah, that was conference. Me reminding myself what I wanted to say, and I forgot that I had said that.
So those are associated. You did
Dune, and then Timothy Chalamet came back in, okay. So it's all
that's
it's
fair.
The weave. We call it the weave. And he's right, it works. I wanted to say, have you seen the news about the Timothy Chalamet lookalike contest?
Oh, no, I have not.
All right, I'm going to give you brief highlights because we got to get to the story. But this is going to be worth it. There was a Timothy Chalamet lookalike contest mm-hmm. that happened, I think, in New York. Mm-hmm. And the not exclusively, but yes.
Okay. I didn't know if they were allowed.
It's a tough hit. It looks like hundreds of people mm-hmm. went to this event. It became like basically like a big flash mob thing. Mm-hmm. All these people came, they were marching in the street, and I don't think the organizers had permission for like a parade. Like they don't have the right permits for Timothy Chalamet.
The street.
You gotta go on Twitter and see the videos of this. It was crazy. There were so many Timothy Chalamet lookalikes, all right? So all these Timothy Chalamet lookalikes get together,
mm-hmm, right?
And they're just like hanging around because they're in a lookalike contest.
Mm-hmm. And they get lost because they can't tell each other apart, and they're like, wait.
Exactly. And I will say some of them are dead ringers. Absolutely. It's really great. but it's a mob and sure. They don't have the permits. So the police show up and they start arresting Timothy Chalamet lookalikes and they arrest, I think, three Timothy Chalamet lookalikes.
Right.
Right. And like leading them. I don't know how you just like, I guess you're making an example.
Yeah. Just like, how do you even get the handcuffs on those little broomstick wrists? It seems very hard to do.
They use those little, like, what are they, like the swizzle sticks that come in cocktails, but have like the loop around the end.
Oh yeah. And they tie them real tight with their fingertips. Yeah, Timothy's not getting out of that one, I'm afraid.
So they arrested three of them. And then the winner, who was
being arrested.
Sorry. I should be clear. The winner of the lookalike contest mm-hmm. got an actual trophy. Now I will say that to my eyes, the winner was the least Timothy Chalamet looking motherfucker out there. But he was wearing a Willy Wonka costume.
Oh, so that'll do it.
That did okay. Anyway, he got a trophy. He got a literal 6 foot tall trophy. It was taller than all of the Timothy Chalamet lookalikes in the road. It's a huge fucking trophy. And then actual Timothy Chalamet showed up and he was wandering among them and no one knew it was him until he was like, hey, everyone, it's me, the real Timothy Chalamet. And then people went wild. And then he took photos with the winner of the lookalike contest. And again, cannot stress this enough. Nothing to like at all. Timothy Chalamet looks more like the 6 foot trophy than he does this guy, but that was the whole thing. And the organizer got fined $500 for putting together the thing. Oh,
totally
worth it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, so that's the last thing I wanted to say. Googling Timothy Chalamet lookalike contest?
No.
You better be.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, what are you seeing in front of your eyes right now?
Nothing.
It's not possibly true.
All right, I'm ready for the show.
I heard you typing. What were you typing?
Nothing. I just adjusted my Zoom name so it was more accurate. That's all.
All right, I like it. You're behind that window. Let's see here. You didn't spell it right. So that's
what? How do you spell it?
It's way more confusing than you would expect. Timothy with two E's.
Timothy E? No, it's not.
I think it might even be Timothée, but I don't know the French. It's Timothy with two E's. I think there's also an accent mark in there.
Okay, I get to Google it now. Timothy?
This feels like a good use of our listening time for sure. I want everyone to know I was ready to end this this whole segment.
There is an accent mark on it. I don't even know where that button is on the keyboard. Fuck it. This is close enough. All right.
Timothy Chalamet. Is that Chalamet? I don't think he spelled Chalamet right.
I think did. That one I checked. Maybe,
okay.
That one I checked. Okay.
Unlookalike. So you did look like him, but you undid it.
I stripped that all off.
Your wedding photos, you're a dead ringer for old Timmy.
Absolutely.
And Amy said, no, thank you.
No.
Don't like this.
Need you to bulk up. Sid, I'm trying.
All right. Well, let's get to... Do you want to hear a ghost story?
I got time.
Okay. Again, this game's from Jeremy Montoya. Thank you, Jeremy. I have not read it. Let's cross our fingers.
He walked out the door and he gave him the knob whacking of his life. Is it just a random button every week? I like them, but I don't...
It's just... You know, once again, if this is your first episode, you're going to be so confused. All right. The Hoosac Tunnel.
Mm. Did you read the title before?
Well, here... great question. No. And also, Jeremy has provided three potential spellings for this, which is... So it's either the Hoosac Tunnel, the Hoosic Tunnel, or the Hoosic Tunnel.
Does Jeremy have the internet still? Or does or do we need to...
I don't
to,
think so.
Do we need
I think
help
he's,
him?
I think he's just going from memory. So the Hoosac Tunnel was first proposed in 1819, long time ago.
I love a big 19th century federal project. I love these.
I mean, barely even 19th century. Like, this is early 1800s.
Like, they're literally standing at the edge of the mountain with muskets just shooting it into the mountain. Like, maybe eventually this will dig a tunnel. I don't know.
Yeah, it will not be surprising to you to learn that this is a ghost story. So the tunnel was first proposed in 1819 in order to provide an efficient and direct route for the Boston and Albany Railroad to go from Boston, Massachusetts to upstate New York.
Mm. People dying to get up there. Absolutely. Yeah,
they're gonna. Mm-hmm. They're gonna.
Mm-hmm. A bunch of them.
The current route that existed at this time currently was 20 miles long, which is, I was going to say, like Boston to upstate New York is like...
That's hundreds of miles. Yeah. That's fine. We'll go with it.
they found a wormhole and they went through it. It was 20 miles long and over what was described as, quote, precipitous grades.
Mm, okay.
Which is not how you want to travel.
No.
Especially not in 1819.
Mm-hmm. Life is precipitous enough without grades, you know.
That's really deep. Thank you. Thank you. Put that on a t-shirt.
We just might. We need one for this month.
We sure do. And my hatchet idea is getting mixed reviews, I would say.
I really think you should just get one that just says real big on the front, Timothy Chalamet unlookalike. That's what you should really just have. I don't think he's...
It feels like a timely shirt that we might miss by the time the next month rolls around.
Fine. I would still take the note, though. I think it's still worth it.
Okay. All right. I'll take a note. Timothy Chalamet unlookalike.
Perfect.
When I try to read this tomorrow, I will have no idea what it says.
Aaron, I need you to read this note and I need you to tell me what this means. I don't know what this
Jeremy,
means.
Please text me and remind me what the scribble means when you hear this. Thank you. All right, so this plan to drill a hole, a tunnel for the railroad was originally called, quote, the Great Bore by critics.
Okay.
It's a little bit like an Elon Musk joke.
Yeah, I think I'm willing to bet Elon took the joke from this project.
Yeah, the boring company became, that project was dumped.
Oh,
okay. And Jeremy does not explain why.
Well, I'm sure they had a good reason. You know, probably they ran out of musket balls and they were like, I don't know then. I don't know.
We shot this thing for like 3 days straight and it is not a dent. So they abandoned that project eventually for what is, probably pretty obvious reasons. But it was then reborn several years later, 30 years later, as the Troy and Greenfield Railroad. So in 1848, people are back at it. They're like, you know what? We still do need that tunnel from Boston to upstate New York. It's leaf peeping season, and we want to get up there. Future Supreme Court Justice and noted hater of this project, Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr., said he'd like to, quote, wall up a dozen lawyers at one end of this tunnel and put a good fee at the other.
Oh, and then they would like eat through the mountain, I guess.
I think
I don't really know.
No. Oh, well, souls. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the idea here is that you would pay good money to go to a place where a bunch of lawyers are cask of amontillado'd, I guess. Which I would say rings true, except for the fact that Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr., who said this quote, also was
probably a lawyer. Probably a lawyer, of course. Sure.
Yeah. So it's tough. Tough hit. So he's not a fan of this plan, but Alva Crocker, who is a self-made paper mill owner from Fitchburg, Massachusetts, was a big-time spokesman for the Hoosac Tunnel.
Big leafer. Big leafy guy.
Big leafer. Big leaf. Big peeper. Big old peeper. And Alva really wanted the tunnel. And now I should say he didn't design the tunnel. He didn't dig the tunnel, certainly. The tunnel was organized. Wanted the tunnel. But he wanted the tunnel super bad. And so he wanted it so bad that he incorporated the Vermont and Massachusetts Railroad in 1844. Just so he could have a railroad that he could say, well, now we need this tunnel. Which is, that's some real The Secret shit, I think. Like, if you want it that badly, just make a railroad, it will appear.
Makes life a lot easier.
Sure. So he does that in 1844. In 1848, a charter for the Troy and Greenfield Railroad. Maybe he starts one railroad in 1844 so that he then has the clout to then make a better railroad in 1848. And he says, that's a railroad that has to go through the Hoosac Mountain, maybe.
Okay.
I will say, so it says here, railroad and a charter in 1848 for the Troy. In Jeremy's email, he did say, I don't know what a charter means in this case. And now that I'm here, I agree. I'm not sure either. So anyway, this tunnel is going to happen, I think. The first chief engineer of the project was a man named A.F. Edwards. And in 1854, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts provided $2 million in credit.
Okay.
And Jeremy very diligently has done the work to say how much that is today. Do you want to guess how much $2 million in 1854 is today?
$50 million.
Oh, you're...
So, am I way off? Okay.
How way is... Well, it's hard to say how much way off is. It's not like $1 billion. So you're not like, astronomically off. 74.7 million.
That's pretty close, you got to admit.
I would say that's 50% more than what you said. So I don't think that's close at all. But anyway, so they provided him some credit to the Edward Wellman Serrell and Company to actually begin the work of building the tunnel in 1855.
Yeah. Just a bunch of picks. And dynamite and
musket balls.
Musket balls.
Yeah.
You boys will figure it out.
They said, hey, we shot a lot of musket balls for 3 years of this thing. We're going to quadruple that amount. That will probably do it. So Edward Wellman Serrell, who is going to work on this thing, he was an American civil engineer. So he's one of you, one of you friends. Mm-hmm. So he probably knows what he's doing. He helped raise the first New York Volunteer Engineer Regiment for the Union Army.
Oh. Wait, is that something we have to do? Oh.
Yeah, I think so. Have you raised, well, I'll tell I you what. Not, as I we recorded it. October 28th, election day is just about 1 week away. Have you considered raising an engineer this is going great. Have you considered raising an engineer regiment for the upcoming Civil War? Just in case.
So all the ones I have exposure to wouldn't be on my side.
So oh, that's tough.
Yeah, man.
That's tough, yeah. Yeah, Missouri's a tough place to raise a Union Army, I guess. So anyway, we like him. We like people who fight on the side of the Union, for sure.
Sure.
Now, this tunnel was expected to have excavated 2 million tons of rock.
Sounds about
right. Now, I will say, what?
Sounds about right. Yeah, $75 million.
Sure.
Yeah, so 2 million tons of rock, and they were going to give them $2 million. Is that right?
Yeah.
So $1.
Per ton?
Per ton of rock. How much did the bison bones cost?
That is an important question. I think 10 cents per ton.
It wasn't much. I remember it was not so much.
Yeah.
So
I mean, the bison bones, I assume they were just gathering them up off of fields.
Right. Yeah. This is a lot more work.
This is a lot more work. You're firing a lot of musket balls into this. Yeah. I will say Jeremy used the TONNES. So I don't know the metric system.
Is he British? I didn't know this.
I think this is a
copy and paste. He has to be, right? Yeah.
I think. I don't know. He's a real traitor. No, I think he's in the reserves. So if he is British, he might be a real traitor.
Okay.
Who do we alert about that?
Oh, boy. Well, I mean,
Jeremy, hey, can you stop listening for a second, Jeremy? Go ahead,
Pat. Who do so we the election was that? Yesterday, so I don't know who we alert yet. So I'll check my notes.
Good point. All right, well, let's see how this shakes out. 2 million tons. He did put some calculations here. It's roughly 1.4 million cubic yards.
Uh-huh, right.
As you know. Mm-hmm. Or 66.96 football fields deep from turf to goalpost crossbar.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, like if you took a whole football field and you uh-huh. filled it up with rocks all the way up uh-huh. to the goalposts, that's how much rocks this is.
It'd be 67 of those?
It's a lot of those. I don't know. But yeah, a lot of those.
It's a lot of those. That is a lot. That's a lot of rock. On March 16th of 1853, Wilson's patented stone cutting machine was used to begin excavating the west opening of this mountain.
And the musket ball industry dies that day.
Son of a bitch. We'll never win another war, they said. Jeremy has very helpfully included a link to a photo of this machine.
Oh, I cannot wait to see this.
Which I have not yet seen myself. So let's see here.
Imagine it's like three Irishmen strapped to a train car punching rocks. Is that what it is?
Well, it's not unlike that. Except I will say I didn't realize at first this what I'm about to show you is a model that's to scale only in terms of the model.
Okay. Oh, I see.
First I thought this is nothing. Yep. This is not going to get you through a mountain.
It's clearly popsicle stick house made right next to it. Okay.
Now, once I saw the house that looks exactly like the house I built in third grade for my diorama,
right.
This makes a lot more. This is sure. much bigger than I initially expected. That's a huge machine. This looks good.
I do like the note from below the photo. Quote, it did not work out very well and only got in 10 feet before jamming.
Well, spoiler alert. I guess that's true. Yeah. looks impressive, though. I would say that's a...
Yeah, it looks not unlike a modern boring machine. So,
yeah,
clearly they didn't figure out what the fuck was wrong with it, but it does look...
This is what Elon modeled his designs after, and it's so weird it doesn't work. It's like, it's you know, if you're not looking at the YouTube, which I always recommend that you do, it looks like if you're going to drill a hole in wood and you want it to be hole size, like a big hole, you can like, there's like a circular attachment you can put on the end of your drill and put it in there.
Yep.
It's like that, but way bigger.
Right. Yep.
Actually, I mean, in this case, it's the same size.
Sure.
But, you know.
Yeah. I am seeing the one problem of if you do put a hole saw onto your drill, you can only drill like half an inch in, and then you have to remove the material. I don't see a way for the material to be removed. It looks like it just carves out like a solid cylinder of rock, and then it just gets stuck.
So, well, let's see if that was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This was used to begin excavating the west opening. A massive tunnel boring machine. Tunnel boring machine. Oh, TBM, tunnel boring machine. Right. Also known as a mole or worm.
Mm-hmm.
So we're back to Dune. But, oh, here's Jeremy. Yeah. But it shit itself 10 feet into the job and fucking died. Jeremy, language.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a family show. Apparently, you can still see its failed scraping into the mountain today if you go and visit. And this is known as the false start.
So I love just abandoned it. They were just like, you know what?
Yeah.
Different spot. This spot's no good. Must be made of
diamonds. Well, this is the, like, I assume this is going to be eventually built, but like they were like someone deliberately said, you know what? Let's leave this here. Mm-hmm. Let's go somewhere else because we want future generations to know this dipshit thought this would work. All right. So when machines break, and if it didn't take long enough to start the job as is, it's going to take longer. They thought you could just dig maybe with some good old reliable dudes mm-hmm. with hand tools.
Mm-hmm.
With the help of, what's this, BP? Oh, black powder.
Ah, kaboom. Kaboom blow time.
Blow it up. Blow it up. It's just, there was, I swear to God, there was like a series of episodes from Little House on the Prairie where they did this. They just like used dynamite and black powder to blow holes through mountains. And one of Charles's friends got very injured.
Oh,
and I think died.
Well,
oh, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't watched Little House on the Prairie
from
yet.
1985.
Yeah, but when you get there, there's a sad season. In 1856, Hermann Haupt, a man named Hermann Haupt, became the chief engineer. No notes why. He just took over. I don't know. There's probably a reason, I would guess, but I like this better. The Western Railroad, led by Chester W. Chapin, they opposed the Hoosac Tunnel. For reasons unknown.
It's an affront to God. You can't just go digging through mountains.
That's probably it. And by that they meant there is gold behind here and I own the rights to that mine, so please please do not go any further.
My wife is buried back there. Please don't turn the machine off.
This is my golf course. My wife is secretly buried there. Please, you gotta stop. They did successfully lobby to block state funding in 1861 and therefore bankrupted Haupt and stopped the project again completely. So it's a big start and stop. At this point, let's see, 4,250 feet had been excavated.
Oh, wow.
By the time of the bankruptcy, which is pretty good.
That's like almost a mile. That's a lot. That's a lot of excavation.
Well, it's 1/5 of the total distance.
That's a big tunnel. That's a bit, yeah.
That's a big, yeah. That's, I mean, 20% is, that's not nothing. So Haupt is bankrupt. He leaves. Then he leaves and becomes a Union Army general.
It's about that time. Yeah.
It's about that time.
Yeah.
And according to Jeremy, he revolutionized the U.S. military transportation in the use of railroads.
Like, how do you want to get to this battle? We should go through the earth. No, I don't have to go through the earth every time.
We will take trains through the earth.
They will never see it coming. We will attack them on Christmas through the earth.
And it did revolutionize everything. However, the people they ended up attacking were Chuds. And they had taken no side in the war. So it was really confusing. In 1862, Massachusetts sent engineer Charles Storrow.
So many engineers. I love this story.
I hate this story because this is how pointless engineers are. There are so many, and this tunnel is not getting fucking done.
It's a project churn. That's all this is. It's every this is project just, I've ever
is,
been
this
on.
This is government pork, just like... yeah, yeah.
Throw more engineers extent. At it. 10 more feet today, more engineers. We'll see what happens. Yeah,
see, I think this is why we need the blue collar man. This is why this is why I'm voting Donald Trump. Here are the blue collar man. I've decided today. All right. So Charles Storrow is sent by the Massachusetts state. They send him not to the rail, not to the tunnel. They send him, let's check the notes here. Oh, to Europe.
Oh.
To study modern tunneling.
Aren't they already? They're like a fifth of the way into the tunnel. Why are they like, you know what? The methods. I don't think the methods have gotten us very far.
I don't know. You should know the answer. These are your people.
This is the sort of thing I would lobby for purely as fucking pork. Be like, you know, I really need to go visit this vendor.
It's really been a long time since I've been to Germany.
Yeah. These tunneling techniques, these are medieval. We need to go to Europe and figure out how they do this.
I haven't had a good doner kebab in years. I think it's time for you to go back to Germany. What can I do to get me over there? So they sent him to Europe in order to study modern tunneling and the use of nitroglycerin and compressed air.
Oh, okay. Big booms. Fuck that black powder stuff.
Yeah, so nitroglycerin, that's TNT, right?
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What is the relationship between nitroglycerin and compressed air? What does that do?
I don't know what the compressed air thing is necessarily. That is interesting.
Maybe they're separate.
Could be.
So these are newer and lesser known tactics not currently used in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you're like power washing the rock away. That doesn't seem like it's going to be better than musket balls, but maybe. But the nitroglycerin,
That's a big boom. That'll make a tunnel. It'll make a tunnel everywhere.
So and then 1863... And 1863. So now, you know, again, this whole thing started in 1819, and the tunnel still does not exist. Yep. 18, but the people of Boston really want to get the fuck out. They really want to go see those leaves.
Maybe my grandchildren could see the leaves. I don't know, but I'm going to continue voting for every tax bill to make this happen.
So in 1863, the state legislature, with our friend Alva Crocker, as superintendent of railroads.
Oh.
Alva's back.
Moving on up.
State legislature, under Alva's guidance, takes over the tunnel. And a slow process continued due to further political issues, numerous accidents, and endless obstacles in drilling.
Are there just like three guys at the end of the tunnel with picks at this point, just like doing a foot a week? Like, I don't know.
And every once in a while, one guy with a pick hits another guy with the pick.
Yeah.
And he has to go to the hospital. He comes back, and then he hits another one accidentally. It's, man, I don't know. Most of the tunnel that was started had to be okay. So they're in a ways, right? Mm-hmm. Like probably at this point, maybe 4,500 feet, yeah. Maybe 5,000 feet, mm-hmm. You know, but most of the tunnel that was started had to be reworked, widened, and reinforced.
Okay.
As the Western portal was like, quote, building a sandcastle in mud. The stone was crumbling into something akin to quicksand and required reinforcing with archways laid in brick. So they've gotten kind of far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now they do have to go back and redo it all.
It sounds like the lessons from Europe have come in, and they are expensive, is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is a great engineer project, mm-hmm. for sure. This is literally turning into his life's work. Mm-hmm. It's one fucking unfinished tunnel. All right, so this is going on. So in 1866, one of the first pneumatic drills ever was used.
Ah, here's a compressed air pneumatic drill.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. All right. This is known as the Burley drilling machine.
Mm-hmm.
You heard of this?
News to me.
You call yourself an engineer. It's so
if it's pneumatic, I have a feeling it's one of those like what we call a pecker, like the thing on the end of an excavator that goes tuk 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 tuk.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Tuck, 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 tuck. Yep.
Little pointy thing. It looks like a pecker.
Mm-hmm. That's why we call it that.
Let's see. The Burley drilling machine entered the project at the East Tunnel. Jeremy has a link here that links to an article. Oh, there's a picture in the article. Okay. I see what we're doing here. All right. Thank you, Jeremy. Here is a picture of that device. Share with you. Dear friend Patrick, there you go.
Yeah, it's a pecker.
Yeah, for some people, sure.
Mine's got three legs on it too.
Amy has a lot of questions, but God love her, she's never asked. Never asked them. Mine works with a crank like this one does. So it's we all have our shortcomings.
All of our cross to bear.
So this is a new drill. And in short, the drilling machine bored a hole 7 feet deep at a rate of 3.3 inches per minute.
Mm-hmm.
And with the combination there. Of... What?
Nothing. Go on.
You want to talk about...
I do not.
I think you owe it to our listeners.
I'm fine. No, I'm good. I'm fine.
Okay. Probably saved us a lot of subscribers now. Thank you for deferring. So the drilling machine bored a hole 7 feet deep, 3.3 inches per minute, and with the combination of nitroglycerin and electric blasting caps, which was the first time these were used in the U.S., they tried to blow it all to hell. Now, this all taken together was far more effective and cost-efficient than hand drilling and blowing with the black powder.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Yeah.
And John Henry wept. That's what I hear.
And man finally knew he was not more powerful than nitroglycerin.
Than the Burley drilling machine.
Than the pecker. Fewer and shallower holes than black powder, which is good, I guess. Is that sure. Sound good?
Why yeah. Not?
It's presented here as a good thing. I'll mm-hmm. assume it's good. Debris cleanup was better. That's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Due to the
it blows it bigger, so it blows the debris far away where you don't even need to clean it up. Like
yeah, small hole.
That's in a different zip code. Yeah,
that's West Virginia's problem now. It worked when they were wet. Black powder does not.
Mm.
All right, famously, and they saved about two-thirds the expense of drilling and labor. Two-thirds the expense of drilling, and labor expense was three times more than machine drilling.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. So they saved three times.
So they saved a lot of money.
Yeah. Saved a lot of money. It's getting done faster. Lots of dick jokes. This is great. Yeah. I love it.
Everyone wins. Especially the engineers, because they cost five times more than just some fucking guy with a plan. Now, in a verbal agreement between Charles Burley, who is the owner of the machine, and a statement by Alva Crocker, Burley, quote, should receive no payment whatever at the time, but the state should have the full use of the machine, and when it could be determined of how much value the invention was to the state, he should be fairly and fully rewarded.
Mm.
This is a bad deal for Burley. Yeah, it's not good. Not good. Let's see how it works out. 16 new drills were provided at cost to the state. This is a bad business plan.
Absolutely bad. Unless he's a leafer. Is he a leafer?
He might be a peeper.
Okay.
So those are provided at cost. And then they were given to the Canadian consulting firm Shanley Brothers in 1869. who bought 60 more at $625 a piece.
So that worked out
for them.
Yeah, which is $10 million a piece or something like that.
No, Jeremy, again, has done the calculations. Thank you so much, Jeremy. $14,304.
Okay. So a Hyundai.
Yeah, but 60 Hyundais.
Sure, that's a lot of Hyundais.
Mm-hmm. I ran my Hyundai into a mountain, and it did nothing. Hyundai just destroyed. Burley reminded the Massachusetts legislature that they saved millions by utilizing his machines. What a fucking idiot. He told them, but he would be happy with $100,000.
Oh, well.
Now, I will say now, thank you again, Jeremy. This is $2.3 million.
I would also be happy with that amount of money.
Yeah, I guess. But also, he's saved them probably three times that.
Sure.
So he's not good at this, I think. here's the next. I'm reading this for the first time. Next bullet point. LOL, he got a high five and $10,000 or $228,887.
Oh, shit.
Which covered the exact amount he paid for clear rights to a patent that he used to begin the newest model.
Oh, so he ripped it off somebody else.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slapped his name on it. Okay. I don't feel so bad for him anymore.
Yeah. I'll say this though. Yeah. I don't want to correct Jeremy. Yeah, you know, I'm really grateful that he did this work, but Dusty Baker invented the high five, and Dusty Baker was not alive at this point, so I just don't think he actually got a high five, Jeremy, so unless he was a time-traveling baseball player, he probably didn't. You think Dusty Baker really invented the high five?
I don't have any evidence to the contrary. So that's true. I don't know anybody
that's true.
The Civil War high fiving each other.
It's not on camera. Anyway, so he stole this patent from a man named Fowl. Now Fowl had a variation of a percussion rock drill in 1851, which was based on 1849, world's first percussion rock drill utilizing steam. And Jeremy puts a note here. This is the end of the rabbit hole. Thanks, Jeremy. Good. Thank God. Patrick was doing the please hurry motion. The Burley drilling method was a significant advancement in modern tunneling, incorporating rotating steel attached to the piston rod with the drill exhaust discharge to cushion the recoil, rather than relaunching a steel rod into the rock and the machine shaking to fucking bits. Does that mean stuff to you?
It does.
It's great.
Yeah. Again, we call it a pecker.
Well, if I put it in that term, that makes all this suddenly. Yeah. Yeah. Now I get it. Let's see. Most drilling machines were being repaired as much as they were being used. So if it wasn't punching rock that is strong as steel, it's being repaired. Oh, gosh. Okay. I don't have a button for this. Let's see. Parallel fact. How's that? Not at this tunnel, but the air compressors used at a Georgetown project with the same machine caused two fatal explosions 6 weeks apart and young people dying en masse from miners' consumption which is a disease called silicosis. Mm-hmm. The fine particulate from the drill would be inhaled and it would shred their lungs mm-hmm. and their lung bits.
Like delicious menthol. Yeah.
Yeesh. Yeah. Burley became the quote-unquote Kleenex of the machine drilling world, yet their machines also earned the nickname the Widowmaker, which is not what you want.
There is no way to not breathe the rock dust in this tunnel. It's so strange. I have no choice but to breathe in the fine silica.
Yeah, the fine, beautiful silica. Best silica, beautiful silica, good for the lungs. So you die from it. Thomas Doan became the chief engineer of this project in 1866, took on the issue in alignment of the massive tunnel through a mountain. 1868, Massachusetts appropriated $5 million to complete the project, which now was one-third excavated.
Okay.
They're so committed.
They have not gotten very far. They have. There's a lot of talk.
It's insane. They're not very far. It is insane. God, all right. Okay. Canadian engineer comes down. Walter and Francis Shanley, mm-hmm. brothers, I assume.
Sure.
Took over the project from the state. They remained through the completion of the boring. So it does get completed. They did two vertical shafts, the west and central shaft mm-hmm. with the pecker. Mm-hmm. The central was completed in 1870, which is, 50 years after this whole mm-hmm. thing started. Let's see. They went through the previously cleared forest over the mountain. They strung out a straight line to the east and west. They grooved iron markers. This is engineering porn, which I will not entertain because sorry, I don't know any of this, and you're gonna get so excited.
They're digging holes, and they keep digging holes up and down to figure out where the fuck they holes, are.
And they're lining it up. It's all very important.
Who hasn't been there? Where you're like, I don't know where I am. I'm just gonna dig straight up for a few days and figure out.
My pecker just goes in this hole. Yeah. I don't know. The final chief engineer was a man named Bernard N. Farron. He took control on November 19th, 1874. And on Thanksgiving Day of that year, he removed the last 16 feet of rock from the tunnel beneath the town of North Adams. And then, just a few months later, the first train passed through on February 9th, 1875. We've done it. We did it, Joe. Took us almost 100 years.
We have destroyed God.
We drained the mountains and killed God. Estimated to contain 25 million cubic feet of gneiss, G-N-E-I-S-S.
Yeah.
Is that a word you know? What's that?
Granite, some sort of granite, I believe.
Okay, Jeremy, you could just say granite in the future. That would help me feel smarter when I read this. That'd be great. See. Thank you.
Let me make sure I'm not lying either. Igneous rock.
You're so stupid.
I know.
Jeremy, if you could just tell us igneous rock, we would both feel a lot smarter.
No, I'm sorry. No, it is. No, it was right. I was right. It's granite.
Jeremy, if you could teach Patrick how to Google better, that would make him feel smarter. He does include the fact that it is a 6 to 7 range on the Mohs scale, mm-hmm. Which is not something I'm familiar with. Are you familiar with the Mohs scale?
It's a hardness measurement. Mohs is a hardness measurement.
Do you know what 6 to 7 means for hardness?
I think 10 is the top, so pretty high. Pretty good, hard. Yeah. Pretty good.
Jeremy has here. That's roughly as hard as steel.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Woo, buddy.
So much blasting was required, a nitroglycerin works was constructed in close proximity to the West Portal.
That sounds super dangerous.
That's like, jobs, friend. That's jobs.
That is jobs. And every time it blows up, it's 100 new jobs.
And every time it blows up, but also 100 new feet in the tunnel.
And 200 pairs of boots that I found in the woods. So, just saying.
So I've got a nice little cottage industry going on and making a tidy sum. Let's see. It's also important to state that some negligent shit named Helton Hell Swayze.
Hell Swayze? Oh my well, God.
I will say it's.
If I am ever like an anime character, please God, make sure that I am named Hell Swayze.
And you're going to have the swoopy Patrick Swayze hair, of course.
Absolutely. Yep. Huge upper body, teeny tiny toothpick legs. Mm-hmm. Hell Swayze.
Excellent dancer.
Oh, it has to. Yes.
Yeah. Just flames. Just blowing up, man, all around you.
Okay, I think we found this. I think we found this shirt.
All right, I'm right. That one I will write down. There along. Hell Swayze. Let's see. Swayze. That one I
will. That one's going to be a lot harder to remember the context of tomorrow.
They'll say hell is spelled H-E-L. But we could change that.
We can change that.
Actually, probably safer from an IP perspective if we do change it.
It's a totally different guy. Totally
different coming guy. Up. So some negligent shit named Hell Swayze had some nitro and kept it warm in his open cab vehicle on a date with a lady. Until his date was cold and he offered her the warm blanket and the hot water bottle tucked from around. God, I'm so excited. I will just say it again. Yep. I have not read this yet. I'm so excited. Until his date was cold, he offered the warm blanket and the hot water bottle tucked from around the nitro in his car on a sub-zero temp evening. Mm-hmm. She suggested they stop at the town hall where a party was already going on. Uh-huh. Well, she got mad at his awful drunken behavior and left. And he was like, okay, so I'm going to blow town hall up. When his date left with others and he was drunk and alone. Let's see. So he, oh God. So he kicked it. Mm-hmm. He threw it, properly fucked with it, but it did not explode.
Hmm.
Very frustrating. So then he went to sleep. Then Professor Mowbray, who is the dude that originally told him to transport it. Okay, Jeremy, listen, I'm going to need a lot more. This has been great. It's been a real roller coaster. I will say now I'm suddenly thinking I'm going to desperately need a few more details because here are these notes. He kicked it through it, properly fucked with it, did not explode. So went to sleep. Next note, Professor Mowbray. And then parentheses, dude that originally told him to transport it in his mouth.
I don't know a whole lot about nitroglycerin, but I do know there's a big sticker on the front of it that says, not in the mouth.
I have ever so many questions. And now I will say, in Jeremy's defense, he did then include a bracket. Mm. What the fuck? Mm. And then outside bracket. So Professor Mowbray, who told him to transport it in his mouth. Oh, man. Found him alive and well. And then here's a Jeremy side, probably hung over his shit. Sounds right. But the nitro was inert. So a truly significant improvement in safety and efficiency in nitroglycerin usage was discovered due to a bad date on a cold day.
Hmm. Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Boy. I don't know. I have so many questions. All right. So now we get to a new section of the notes that Jeremy is titled Accidents and Ghosts.
Oh yes. Finally, the accidents.
We usually get to the accidents and ghosts much earlier. Okay. So let's see. 195 people were injured and 135 verified deaths.
That is a really tough ratio right there. That is
real tough. It's almost 1-to-1. That is not good.
Not a lot of like hang nails and stub toes on this project. It's pretty much blown to pieces. Mm-hmm. Fucked by the drill. I don't know how that happened. Blown to pieces.
And the 1%, you get to live with fewer limbs, right, but you are alive.
Also, free passes through the tunnel for this year at least.
Now it's not going to be delivered until not going to be finished until 3 years from now or 30 years from now. I don't know. It's hard to say, but wish you the best, bud. Here's a strawberry bouquet. So this, because of all the injuries and deaths, this became known as the Bloody Pit. I mean, it's apt. It's real.
That's a tough one when you're on the train with your kids and you're like trying and they're like annoying you and you're trying to count the stops. Like, which one's our stop? Well, we have four more. We have to go through, Harlem and then Cumberland and then the Bloody Pit and then
wait, what?
Yeah,
what was that?
Are we all gonna be bloody?
Due to the dangers and conditions, workers went on strike in 1865, which makes a lot of sense to me, sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. And they burnt buildings in protest. This may have something to do with why it took so long, mm-hmm. I guess, in the end. The deadliest accident was an explosion in the central shaft, which was used for ventilation and exhaust, on October 17th, 1867, as workers dug the 1,028-foot vertical exhaust shaft. Ooh, a candle in the hoist building ignited naphtha fumes. Mm-hmm. What is naphtha?
Naphtha? You know that? That one I don't know. That one sounds like an old-timey name for like Sterno or something.
It sounds to me like a new-timey music streaming service. naphtha or petroleum naphtha is a generic term applied to refined, partly refined, or unrefined crude oil products. Okay. Not ideal. And liquid products of natural gas, which distill, blah, blah, blah. Seems pretty explosive. and those leaked, from a gas meter lamp, which was an oil lamp.
Mm.
Oof. Vertical tunnel was halfway completed by this point. 13 men were working in the pit when the explosion happened. And we've all seen Backdraft.
Sure. You know
how this goes.
They're only solace knowing that the project would be named after them once it was all said and done.
At least the bloody parts of them.
Right, yeah.
For sure. Freshly sharpened drill bits fell and pelted over them from above. The winching machinery for the elevator platform engulfed in flames fell. Oof.
I gotta admit, this all sounds really cool.
It sounds like call Jerry Bruckheimer, yeah. Because we've got an idea. it gets better in that specific sense, mm-hmm. only, which is that the hoist house also was engulfed in flames, and the hoist house fell down on top of the workers. It's
the best part of the rock. Best part of the whole movie is whenever the hoist house lights on fire and falls down the tunnel.
The hoist house, we've got to go, is, I think, the quote from that movie. Hey, man, I never ran from a hoist house before. I won't run from a hoist house now. That was Nicolas Cage.
It was? Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Good or?
I mean, the Connery was better, but let's go on. Let's go on.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Good idea. But he says, don't worry, because the water pumps also freaking broke and the tunnel started to flood. This is bad luck. For sure. And a man named Mallory was lowered down to see if there were any survivors. and I'll tell you, let's just recap here. Drill bits fell down on top of them. Mm-hmm. The winch fell down on top of them. Mm-hmm. The platform the winch was on mm-hmm. fell down on top of them.
Right.
And the hoist house itself fell down on top of them.
Right.
And then the water pumps failed and the flooded
right.
into them.
Right. And then the guy with the easiest job in the whole fucking world gets sent down.
You want me to check for survivors? Okay.
You know, I could be up here drilling into fucking stone for 12 hours, or I could go down the tunnel and just see if everything's cool down there.
And make a quick report.
Yeah.
Got some ideas. I made some cheat notes on my paper.
I will also bring a cooler with me.
it took me so fucking long. Are you drunk?
No survivors.
I look so hot. I went through all the water. You're dry. No, I'm not. It's wet. I'm wet. So Mallory goes down to see if there are any survivors. Let's see. But after
5 seconds.
He brought down three lamps with him, and two of those three lamps were snuffed out by noxious fumes.
Boy.
So it's bad.
I'd be given like the old double tug on the rope right there. Like, no, I'm.
Yeah. After two of the three lamps were snuffed out by noxious fumes, he stated no hope as he was hoisted back up due to the fumes getting worse the lower he went. And I am on his side, I gotta say. That's right. Oh, he went unconscious from the fumes.
I believe it. Yeah. That will definitely happen.
Yeah, although he was only, quote, briefly exposed compared to the potential survivors. So they're like this.
They're both
unchecked, and I'll tell you. It's
both underwater and suffocated by fumes. I think they're...
Their lungs have struggled, I think is the nice way to put it. And they're short on lungs now. They said okay and sealed it up, like a sealed up and left it alone. So I guess that means, like, I don't know, cement maybe?
Yeah.
So those people are dead. And now muffled disembodied groans and cries can be heard, quote, almost as if they were spooling out from within the earth itself.
Ooh, we don't want that.
I have the hiccups. Hey, quick, do the thing real quick.
You are not a fish.
So far, so good. We need to sell a million of these glasses because it's so useful. All right. So lots of groans and cries. Shapes and figures are seen moving about. Figures of working men appearing and disappearing into the Berkshire inclines. Oh, this is by the Berkshires. Oh. I've been there. It's nice up there. Hmm. It's where rich people pretend to be poor and do cute mountain things.
I'm rich, but I bought flannel.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we're going to a theater that has clapboard on the side. How quaint. We won't donate to them, but we will pay $15 to see their show. So you can hear people screaming. Cries and wailing is heard around the capped entrance above ground. The central shaft being essential... Stuff. Jeremy, here's a quick note. That's a tongue twister for sure. The central shaft.
Maybe the beginning essential. Of the episode, you put that one in there. End of the episode, I wouldn't recommend it.
Sure. I have been drinking this glass of whiskey for a long time now. So the central shaft being essential was opened and drained because they had to get back down there.
Right.
And when they did that, they found the remains of all 13 lost men. Yeah. Oh, and they were on a makeshift raft.
Oh, I mean, that sounds exciting, too.
They had a journey. They had a real journey, and we celebrate that.
It's like some Homeward Bound shit right here, but it didn't turn out so good.
That's well, gosh, my mind goes immediately to, like, okay, so the platform with the machinery falls down,
right.
And they're like, what are we going to do with that? And then it's flooding, and they're like, I know what we're going to do with that. This is going to happen. This is going to work.
And then the fumes. Work. And then the fumes and the show fumes, up.
Yep. The fumes came, and they're like, ah, fuck. Yeah, not working. Naphtha is more dense than air.
So it sinks.
Yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sinks down, yet lighter than water.
Mm.
That's a bad combo not for good. This situation, huh?
Yeah.
So Jeremy says, my guess is they likely died of asphyxiation rather than starvation.
Oh, on their cool raft and everything.
Shit. They did a cool raft. God. Oh, man. Those poor guys.
Man. I bet they made like a little mast for it and a flag.
Oh, probably.
All like... for naught.
All right. I'm going to make another t-shirt note here. A cool flag for
Naphtha death raft.
Cool flag. Naphtha death raft. I'm going to have so many questions for myself tomorrow. Mm-hmm. All right. So yes, Jeremy guesses they likely died of asphyxiation, rather than starvation, as I think we all do, as the gas can enter through the skin as well as inhalation.
Oof.
So it's doubly choking out your oxygen.
You don't want that.
Jesus Christ.
Nothing Ooh, through the skin.
That's bad.
That's my rule.
Nothing. Yeah. Okay. Anti-vaxxer. That's cool.
I'm just saying nothing through the skin.
Oh, man. After the bodies were recovered, the sightings above disappeared.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is a good kind of ghost where they're like, you know, sure. Just please. All we want is just to not be on this raft anymore.
Find my mutilated body. That's all I'm asking for.
It's easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
A man named John Velsor, who's a new foreman at the nitroglycerin factory, was, was quote, blown to atoms. Man, Jeremy, I will say no notes on this. This is so good.
I know in like most obituaries and newspapers, they don't like to show the cause of death just because it's not super tasteful. That one, I think you just kind of have to say, this one we're putting in there, you know.
I'll tell you, if it were me, I would want that.
Yeah.
I would want everyone to be singing that. Absolutely blown to atoms. When 800 pounds of what they called, quote, killer soup erupted, I don't know, erupted in December of 1870. On March 20th, 1865, before that, explosive authority Ringo Kelly prematurely blasted with his companions, Ned Brinkman and Billy Nash. They were caught under tons upon tons of rock because they blasted bad. Kelly disappeared without a trace, but Brinkman and Nash were seen as angry spirits walking around within the pit.
Okay.
Jeremy has noted here, I don't know why angry or what they were doing that was angry, but they were angry per all sources. I don't know. Sometimes you die and you get angry about that.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense to me. 1 year to the day, or another article said 10 days.
So 1 year to the day plus 10. Okay.
So yeah. You have 1 year to the day, and Jeremy has in parentheses, or another article says 10 days. So whichever comes first. And I feel like that's an easy calculation, Jeremy. Kelly was seen again, but dead. And in the exact
scene, but dead. Yeah, that's usually how we end up.
I got to start writing my notes like this. Yeah. Kelly was seen again, period. But dead, period. Packs a punch. And in the exact spot his companions had died.
Mm.
And he had been strangled to death. I'll tell you, these notes are a masterclass in suspense and surprise. It's so
like
good.
Like a CSI Miami episode or something. I like this.
You've been strangled to death between 12 and 3 a.m. And the next line, spooky.
I mean, that's the witching hour right there.
Boy. September of 1868, cavalry officer and mechanical engineer Paul Travers was asked to investigate the cries and calls of a man in agony deep within the tunnel.
Need more engineers. Is there a better solution to this situation than sending more engineers into the tunnel?
No, let's go. Like, now that it's like haunted, let's send more engineers into the tunnel.
Yeah.
We need an engineer really made of.
That can ride a horse. Where could we find an engineer that can ride a horse? There's just the one.
It's only one. An engineer who can rappel down this tunnel and drive
horse.
A raft.
Yeah, with the horse. Yeah, with the horse. It's really complicated. The horse. All kinds of different straps to get the horse down there.
Again, this is a reference you don't know, but again, we're back to Man from Snowy River.
I got to see this movie. They got a horse you repelling.
See. It's so good. He's so good at going straight downhill. Yeah. It's so good at going straight downhill. Got to see. You can hear him go, Jessica. Which is so good. I think it was Jen Jones, our super listener, Jen Jones. It may have been someone else. I hope I have this right here. After we did that episode, we talked about Man from Snowy River, like, I don't know, a year ago. She was like, I didn't think anyone else knew about this movie. I don't know. Anyone else knew it existed. I'm like, no, it's so good. And I can't believe that more listeners haven't seen Man from Snowy River. I can't believe, Patrick, you have not seen Man from Snowy River.
Mm.
You wasted your childhood. Mm. Anyway, the Man from Snowy River could go down here. Anyway, he was probably an engineer. Travers entered with a Mr. Dunn and expected to hear wind through the rock, but instead recalled the sounds of a groaning man.
Oh.
Travers states, quote, I'll admit I haven't been this frightened since Shiloh, end quote, which is one of the bloodiest battles in American Civil War. all right, Jeremy has a link here and says a little down the page has a snippet of the confirmed deaths in a timeline format. You want to see this?
Yeah. I'd love to see a timeline of all the confirmed deaths.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so Hoosac Tunnel.
Okay. Well, it's a happy little work site.
Yeah, these are people who are probably still alive.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are definitely people who are in all of their pieces, who have not been atomized at any point.
Blown to atoms.
Killed, falling rock, killed, explosion.
I'm sorry, this one. Yeah. The name of this person is Englishman. Yeah. We didn't take good records, admittedly.
He was so fucking annoying, but I know I remember the accent.
Load overturn. Okay. Yeah. Been there, huh?
Falling drill, ouch. That one stinks.
That's bad.
Fall.
Not ideal. That's too much to react. Go ahead. Do you want to take a swing?
I killed in an extremely complicated way.
Fucking
that's fine.
Novel.
Sorry. Fall.
Killed. Oh, sorry. This one, the names are killed.
Yeah.
Two unknown.
Killed workers. And then Menable. Is that a name? Is he like Sinbad? Or... I'm not sure who that is. Is it Bad Bunny? Richard Berryman drowned in a flood.
Not good.
I do like as we go on, the timeline of deaths gets really, really dense.
Yeah, this becomes harrowing. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, so we can't do this for too much longer. But
fall.
That's just fall.
Explosion.
Yeah.
Fire.
Ooh, fire. Explosion. Butler.
John Kennedy unfortunately died in an explosion at that time.
Yeah, famously, I think. After he cut the head off a whale, he was like, let's take it down to this cave. And then he died. Johnny in charge, the other man.
Blah, blah, blah. Explosion.
John McCain. Sorry, let's say John McCain.
Yeah, John McCain died in an explosion.
Oh, John McCann. Well, that's different. Same thing. Okay. So there's a lot happening here.
Mm. Blah, blah, blah. I'm sure all these people who died in horrific fashion would appreciate us scrolling past them out of boredom.
Yeah, and for a comedy podcast, I think they are really loving it. Sorry, everybody. It's not nice. All right. So boy, lots of dead people. On June 25th, 1872, Dr. Clifford J. June 25th, 1872, involved Dr. Clifford J. Owens and drilling superintendent James McKinstry accounted. I don't know. Anyway, here's a quote. We had traveled about 2 miles into the shaft when we halted to rest. Except for the dim, smoky light cast by our lamps, the place was as cold and dark as a tomb. Suddenly, I heard a strange, mournful sound. The next thing I saw was a dim light coming from a westerly direction. At first, I believed it was a workman with a lantern. Yet, as the light drew closer, it took on a strange blue color and the form of a human being without a head.
Oh.
The light seemed to be floating along about a foot or two above the tunnel floor. The headless form came so close that I could have reached out and touched it, but I was too terrified to move. Good?
Spooky. Spooky stuff.
There's more. For what seemed like an eternity, McKinstry and I just stood there gaping at the headless thing like two wooden Indians. Now, I will say that's pretty racist. The blue light remained motionless for a few seconds as if it were actually looking us over, then floated off toward the east end of the shaft and vanished into thin air. Frank Webster went missing in October of 1874 as he was hunting near the tunnel. Searchers found him in a state of shock within the woods. Days later, he recalls he was allured by the siren song from the tunnel and went in.
Of the train tunnel.
Yes.
I mean, that's not the siren song. That's like just
no,
the
they
siren.
Famously like water. That's called a whistle, friend. Yeah. I don't know why that made you so horny, but that's a you thing, not a train thing. The ghostly figures milling about took his rifle and beat him with it. Oh no. He was found with the bruises to prove it and no rifle on his person.
Mm.
In 1875, Harlan Mulvaney was supposed to deliver a cartload of wood nearby, yet ran in an unexpected panic and was never heard from again.
Mm.
Looking at more current times, in February 12th, 2020.
Oh, wow.
Okay. This is a pandemic, early pandemic. A tunnel collapse occurred 300 feet from the west portal, which was part of the reinforced brick quicksand area. Mm-hmm. And there were more collapses in the following days. It's almost like maybe European engineering cannot save us from quicksand, which is what 3-year-old me always knew the whole time. Like, quicksand will end us all.
Quicksand in a tunnel in Massachusetts. No, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. The only way this gets worse is if you put the Bermuda Triangle in this tunnel. That's
maybe put it in Vermont. One of the, yeah. That's it. Mm-hmm.
The tunnel reopened on April 4th, 2020, and in 2023, roughly 5 freight trains used the tunnel every single day. Hmm. They are just counting their hours. And that is the story of the Hoosac or Hoosick or Hoosiac tunnel.
They really got to settle on a name. They can't keep doing this. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, based on Jeremy's notes, I'm going to guess it's a Hoosac. But, yeah, it's tough. I don't know. Anyway, that's the story.
I love this story.
This is where you could, like, weigh in on
I really your
love
thoughts.
It. Or like,
I love that the engineers were the heroes at every turn.
I guess so. Although, I mean, in the sense, they didn't die.
Yeah. Dangerous mechanical contraptions. Rafts,
yeah. Now they engineers. Did create the things that killed people.
Well, right. I mean, someone in has some, to, but
it's... that's true. That's true. That's what makes them engineers. That's true. They also like weren't. They weren't like they weren't heroes, really.
I mean, kind of though. You have to admit.
They sort of existed.
Sure, in heroic
form. There were a lot of them. All right. Anything else? Sorry, there's a lot of noise happening out here. I don't know what's going on. I'm distracted. Will you close up the podcast?
Sure. Yeah. There's a... Okay, go ahead. I don't remember how it closes out, actually.
Okay, I'll do it. All right, fine. Yeah. All right. I guess that's going to be it for us. So thank you all so much for listening. If you like this, we do this even more so on Ghost Plus, which you could subscribe to if you want to. It's $6 a month. It's $5.99 actually to be specific, which is way less than $6 a month. We do extra little ghosty shows, short versions of this, and Ryan and I, our producer and I, do a fun similar version to this a show that does just weird history stuff, and Ryan replies also differently hilariously than Patrick, but he's his own creature, and some extra bonus stuff. It's really fun. Go check out Ghost Plus. It's really fun. Go to our website. You can click on a little link on the top. It says Ghost Plus. This has been, I would say, gosh, wild and great episode of Is This a Ghost? All the notes were not taken by me, Clayton Smith. They were taken by Jeremy Montoya, who is also our audio editor. Thank you so much, Jeremy. A+, no notes. Great work today. All the funny jokes from Patrick Dean. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media manager is Kai Valonis. And I am so excited to announce we have a brand new member of our team who's going to be doing some social media video, taking our video recordings and kind of chopping them up and put them on the socials, as they say.
As they've been meant to be.
Absolutely. Please don't show either of our faces. and that's Sam Murdoch. Sam, thank you so much for coming on board. So excited to see what you do with all these videos. And, if you have to choose one of us to look better than the other, like, it's, yeah, you know, just obviously. I'm the one who answers emails, so think about that a little bit. And that is our show for this week. And hey, if you go into a tunnel, I would say don't go into tunnels, because based on what we heard tonight, if you go into a tunnel, you may be the next ghost we talk about next week on Is This a Ghost?